When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports, and now
Talking the News with Noah
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me. 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Tuesday, May 7th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Just a beautiful sunny day on the way, high 76. Tonight and overnight, the clouds roll in, could see some showers, low 59, and then Wednesday morning rain, and then peaks of sun in the afternoon, high 82. If you're walking out the door with us right now, it is 58, partly cloudy in Southampton out on Long Island. It is 57 and partly cloudy in Dover over in New Jersey. And it is 60 and foggy outside our Midtown studios. A whole lot to get to this morning as we work our way up to the 6 o'clock hour. Sid and friends in the morning watching on overnight. Two women shot in Hamilton Heights. Police looking for the gunman, looking for a motive. They were responding to this building at 550 West 144th Street. This was about 8:40 last night. NYPD cops found these two women suffering gunshot wounds. First responders transporting those victims to Harlem Hospital. They're in stable condition, expected to recover. So that's the good news. Why they were shot, don't know. Who shot them, don't know. No arrests have been made. Also overnight, protesters supporting Palestinians started this huge demonstration. This was outside Hunter College. And what they wanted to do was interrupt the Met Gala that was taking place last night. Maybe several hundred of them were getting, you know, differing numbers, but they got together and their idea was they were going to try to get to the Metropolitan Museum of Art to get in the way of this big fundraiser that was taking place last night. No doubt you probably heard about it. People show up in these funky costumes. They raise a lot of money. There was a fair amount of fights between NYPD cops and these protesters as they tried to get close to the Met Gala. I mean, they never got very close at all. But we watched on as there were battles. I mean, full-on fist fights that police were having with some of these protesters. There were arrests. We could not get a confirmation on the number of arrests that were made, but it did look violent at moments. And then you had the people who were on the Hunter College campus who had showed up for class last night to take, this is the end of the semester, end of the year for that matter, and they say, you know, we're tired of dealing with this, you know, showing up to school and there's protesters in the way of our classrooms. And some of the classes now at Hunter have gone all virtual. And people say, wait a minute, I'm paying to be in class. I don't want to be virtual.
Spend my money to get here to pay for the tuition and everything, and they just cancel my class for no reason.
So as of late last night, they were telling us 24 arrests, but it seemed like these battles went on much later into the evening when we got those first official numbers. So my guess that number will go up a bit as the morning wears on. None of those people got really close to the Met Gala last night. Also watching last night, a lot of damage reported in Oklahoma. Boy, they've been hit hard, the Midwest, by tornado after tornado over the last couple weeks. Just a strange weather pattern that has kind of hung on there. Tore through the state last night, several communities, including the town of Bartlesville, reporting widespread damage this morning.
We're still doing assessments, still looking at some of the damage areas. We did take a direct hit from a tornado here in Bartlesville.
Other parts of the state were hit as well.
Stay out of those damaged areas. We're having a lot of difficulty getting in to do assessments, to check on people, to see if they've got any injuries because of the traffic congestion.
And down in Texas, it's more danger from flooding. And the flooding is not over. It was, boy, it was bad over the weekend, watching some pictures of just homes completely flooded out. cars flooded over, some lives lost, including a four-year-old kid who was taken away in the rushing water. Now the governor there, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, warning that they are not out of the water. Bad pun there. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Heart-wrenching to see our fellow Texans be literally inundated with record waterfall, record rise in water.
You have 500 water rescues have taken place around the state. Three in all have died as a result of the recent storms. The governor says 91 counties in Texas have been impacted by the storms and declared a state disaster areas. And again, he's warning the water's still rising in some places this morning.
Flooding homes, destroying lives, and unfortunately even claiming some lives.
And, you know, what we've seen down in Texas is what happens here sometimes in the tri-state. After flooding, people think they can get through an area, drive through an area, and then they get there, and all of a sudden their car starts floating. We've had some fatalities due to that. Governor Abbott doing the same thing down in Texas, warning people not to risk driving into high water because the same thing could happen to them.
We've seen horrific deaths and injuries arise because of vehicles driving into high water, thinking that they could make it through, only to, in the end, lose their life.
Yeah, so we'll watch that flooding all day right here, 77 WABC. Also last night, technical problems delaying the first crewed flight of NASA's newest spaceship, the Starliner. A lot of people excited about this crew and what they're going to do, but there was a delay really at the last moment. The astronauts were seated and ready to go.
The vehicle is not in a configuration where we can proceed with flight today. So we're going to initiate our scrub and recycle operation.
Yes, you didn't get that countdown yesterday. Commander Butch Whitmore, pilot Sonny Williams, were settling into their seats when the test flight from the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station was canceled. It was a faulty oxygen relief valve, and the rocket is blamed for the scrub. The Boeing-built Starliner will launch for a week-long shakedown mission to the International Space Station. They're going to try again, not clear when, but as soon as we know, we'll let you know. WABC News Time 508. Let's go overseas. It seemed like there might have been a ceasefire deal in place yesterday. Hamas making the announcement early yesterday afternoon that they had agreed to a plan with Israel, but now it seems that they had their own plan that wasn't the Israeli plan. Rafe Sanchez, he's a correspondent in Tel Aviv and reports no done deal on the ceasefire deal.
We have not at this point heard from the Israeli government about this tentative proposal.
The deal brokered by Egypt and Qatar, details about ceasefire had not been announced, these new details, but apparently none of this was going to happen. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying that these deals were stalled and what the Hamas and Palestinians were asking for were not realistic at all.
This is a positive first sign. Hamas's political wing indicating that it has tentatively agreed to this proposal.
Yeah, so that was the thought yesterday, but boy, things changed very quickly. By the way, President Biden was on the phone with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday, asking him not to conduct this military operation in Rafah, which, by the way, is underway, and we'll get into that in just a moment.
Now, as you know, the president talked with Prime Minister Netanyahu this morning. The call lasted about 30 minutes and was constructed.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. But then Israel went into Rafah. This news we're getting from our buddies at JNS.org in Jerusalem. The Israeli Defense Forces taking control of the Gaza side of the Rafah crossing with Egypt this morning as tanks from the 401st Armored Brigade rolled up to the station. The Israeli flag was raised at the Rafah crossing that we see in video. This all following intelligence that indicated the Rafah crossing in eastern Rafah was being used for terrorist purposes, I guess, to get out of Rafah. IDF troops managed to establish apparently operational control of the Gazan side of the crossing. This according to the IDF just a short time ago. The General Authority for Crossings and Borders in the Gaza Strip has announced a complete halt to passenger traffic. People living in Rafah trying to get to the Egyptian side. That's not going to happen now. So far, we're seeing videos of some injuries, but the IDF saying they are all minor. but clearly an operation into Rafah has begun. And of course, that all continues to play out on the streets here in the U.S. Columbia University yesterday deciding not to hold its university-wide commencement ceremony that's scheduled for next week, all in response to the anti-Israel protests that had taken over the green at Columbia University until police cleared them out last week. The university saying, no, we're not going to hold this campus-wide celebration. I guess they were worried, fear for security, and that these it would all be interrupted. But when you talk to students at Columbia University who are set to graduate, they're really upset with the Ivy League school, saying the police could have protected everybody and they should have gone ahead with the campus-wide graduation.
Campus is operating on like 10%, 5%. And we're still paying full tuition and watching all of this unfold and not getting graduation too.
I don't think they should have done all this like excessive police force unless they were actually going to have campus graduation.
So they're going to have these small school-based celebrations, depending on what school, like School of Engineering, they'll have their own graduation. But these students are saying, hey, wait a minute. We got sort of ripped off with our high school graduation because it was the height of COVID, so lots of people never got to walk in one. And here, he said, they say, there's really no reason we shouldn't be able to walk in this graduation. The NYPD, Mayor Adams, Governor Hochul telling the school they would make sure that citywide or that school-wide graduation would be protected. But the school, in the end, decided not to do that. And now they're going to have these smaller campus celebrations with each school.
Especially because they were that COVID class.
Yeah.
So, you know, personally, I think if they're doing individual class graduations, you know, take security precautions, limit it to, you know, people who are family members and students that are graduating, faculty, of course. But then, you know, coordinate with whoever you have to coordinate with and, you know, give the seniors the proper send-off.
And a lot of lawmakers weighing in on this. House Speaker Mike Johnson says University President Manoush Shafiq ceded control to Hamas supporters and called for her immediate removal after hearing yesterday that there would be no campus-wide celebration on the green at Columbia.
They only sent out an email.
There's more students.
At 10:38, almost everyone found out from, like, getting news alerts on their phone.
I would have rather them email us or send us, like, a message.
It felt kind of like a betrayal, yeah. They're not telling us, you know, and we get this email that doesn't even say commencement is getting canceled. They say class day is getting moved. And so they're being very cryptic about it.
Meanwhile, Columbia will have NYPD cops on the campus through graduation. Governor Hochul, too, she also saying she's disappointed in Columbia University and its decision to cancel that graduation ceremony.
We have to restore some sense of normalcy. We have to, you know, work around the chaos and the people's legitimate right to protest.
So she said she specifically reached out to the school and said, you should go ahead with your graduation. This is before they made the decision not to hold it, saying that they would do everything they could to make sure the graduation went off without a hitch. So she was surprised when the school made the decision not to hold it.
I never saw the level of hatred in some cases from one student to the other because of which side of the issue with Israel and Gaza they're on. Will what's happening now during their formative years, when they are supposed to be hearing different points of view and understanding and developing respect and collaboration, will any of that be affected by what they're seeing going on campus right now? I wanted them to have the benefit of walking across the stage. They earned it. And this is a testament to the resiliency of our education system, that we can allow these norms to continue without interruption.
Yeah, well, that's not going to be the case at Columbia anyway. In a moment, we're going to take a look on who's funding these protesters or who has been funding these protesters. We'll get into that story in just a moment. First, 5:15, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Happy Tuesday. Good morning, Justin Ellick.
Happy Tuesday. Good morning to you, Noah Maladen. Start on the hardwood at the Garden. Jalen Brunson scored 43 points, becoming the fourth player in NBA history with four straight 40-point games in the postseason. And the Knicks beat the Indiana Pacers 121-117.
Who are the other three?
I was actually going to get to that, but
no, you have to say it right after you said he's the fourth.
But I wanted to give the final score of the game first.
You should give the final score of the game first and say, and Brunson became the fourth player along with.
Okay, well, it's going to be Jerry West, Michael Jordan, and Bernard King.
Jerry West?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Who knew?
I wouldn't have picked him. Wow.
I guess you learn something new every day, huh?
Yeah, that's good. I know King did it. King had that amazing 84 series against the Pistons.
Yeah.
And Jordan, that's an easy one.
Yes.
But Jerry West, good job out of you.
Yeah. Jerry West did it 6 consecutive games.
Wow.
Yeah.
What year was that?
Let's see. I don't know.
You know what team he played on?
The Lakers.
Very good.
Yeah, I don't know what year, though.
71?
Is that the record? 6 straight?
It's got to be, yeah. I mean, Bernard...
We don't know that,
Well, but King and Jordan only had 4.
So that would be the record, then,
yeah,
6.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 6 is more than 4.
Yeah, well, only on a Tuesday, though.
Yeah. This is like the BT and Sal show, 10-1 on the fan.
Dante DiVincenzo at the tie-breaking three-pointer with 40 seconds remaining. He scored 25. Josh Hart added a playoff career-high 24 and added 13 rebounds and 8 assists. Hart played all 48 minutes. DiVincenzo 44 and Brunson 43.5. The Knicks will try and stay hot when they host Game 2 at the Garden coming up tomorrow night to the NHL, where we've got Game 2 of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Look forward to tonight featuring our very own New York Hockey Rangers at Madison Square Garden to host the Carolina Hurricanes. Puck drop there set for 7 p.m. with the Rangers heading in with a 1-0 series lead on the diamond in St. Louis. Brandon Nimmo hit a tie-breaking homer in the 7th inning that sent the Mets to a 4-3 victory over the Cardinals. Sean Manaea pitched 6 effective innings, and Edwin Diaz rebounded from a rare blown save Sunday as the Mets bounced back from a weekend sweep at Tampa Bay. Diaz worked a 1-2-3 inning for his 5th save in 6 opportunities. Before that rare blown save on Sunday, Diaz had converted 26 consecutive save chances dating back to 2022, which was the longest active streak in the majors. Manaea allowed 3 runs, 6 hits, and 1 walk in his first career start against the Cards. He became the first Mets starter to earn a win since Luis Severino beat Pittsburgh 9-1. On April 17th, Game 2 of the 3-game set scheduled for tonight at 7:45 p.m. with Jose Buto prepped to take the hill for New York. Looking ahead to Yankees baseball after the Bombers enjoyed an off day yesterday, they'll welcome in the rival Houston Astros for a 3-game series that'll begin tonight at 7:05 with the righty Luis Gil scheduled to get the start for New York there. That's your sports gnome. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 5:20. There's a growing call among Republicans to investigate who's backing the anti-Israel protests that have swept the nation's college campuses. Senator John Cornyn, he's from Texas, says it's clear that dark money is funding nonprofits that he says have radicalized students.
Pro-Hamas rioters have taken over buildings, threatened Jewish students, and prevented students from pursuing the very reason they're there, which is their education.
He says the activists have come to campus to promote, in many times, anti-Semitic views, and he says he's had enough.
The right to peaceful protest is a fundamental right, but it does not grant any of us the ability to damage property, threaten the safety of others, or violate the rules. Since October the 7th, the line between protesting and rioting has been crossed time and time again.
5:21, House Speaker Mike Johnson going to face a vote this week to remove him from speakership. Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke about the motion to vacate.
I can't wait to see Democrats go out and support a Republican speaker and have to go home to their primaries and have to run for Congress again, having supported a Republican speaker, a Christian conservative.
She's talking about the fact that Democrats have said they'll vote to kill the effort led by Greene, effectively ensuring Johnson will keep his job. The White House confirming now it's aware of a U.S. soldier that's been detained in Russia.
The soldier's reportedly accused of stealing, but it's not clear if the charges are legitimate. He had been stationed in South Korea and traveled to Russia on his own. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby told reporters there wasn't much they could say about the case currently. A number of Americans are detained in Russia, including former Marine Paul Whelan and Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Donald Trump going to be back in a lower Manhattan courtroom again today for his hush money trial. Yesterday, he was insinuating that he was willing to go to jail on principle for this whole gag order mess.
This judge has given me a gag order and said you'll go to jail if you violate it. And frankly, you know what? Our Constitution is much more important than jail. It's not even close.
Former president ripping the judge who threatened him with jail time again for breaking his gag order.
Trump making it sound like he's willing to go to jail on principle.
This judge has given me a gag order and said you'll go to jail if you violate it. And frankly, you know what? Our Constitution is much more important than jail. It's not even close.
Judge Mershon threatened to jail Trump for violating his government gag order, which bars Trump from speaking about witnesses, for example, and whether or not they're credible. Trump saying the prosecution told the judge it needs 2 to 3 more weeks to make their case.
The judge is so happy about 2 to 3 more weeks because they all want to keep you off the campaign trail.
James Flippin for 77 WABC News.
WABC News Time 522. FAA now opening a new probe into Boeing's 787 Dreamliner jets.
The agency said Boeing informed it last month that employees may not have completed required inspections on the planes. The investigation will look to determine if the inspections happened and whether company employees may have falsified aircraft records. Boeing will conduct inspections on 787 jets that are still in the production process while also coming up with a plan for planes already in service. Boeing has faced increasing scrutiny for a number of incidents involving its planes this year. I'm Lisa Taylor.
WNBA star Brittany Griner opening up about the time she spent behind bars in Russia.
I was terrified when I was thinking about going to that jail because I was like, what games are they going to play? And I soon found out one of the games on trying to tell me to go into one of the men's cells, and I'm like, I'm not going in that cell.
Griner spent 10 months in a Russian prison after getting caught with hashish vape cartridges at the Moscow airport. She was eventually freed in 2022 in what was a pretty controversial swap for a convicted arms dealer known as the Merchant of Death.
I was terrified when I was thinking about going to that jail because I was like, what game are they going to play? And I soon found out one of the games on trying to tell me to go into one of the men's cells, and I'm like, I'm not going in that cell. And then the other guard, you know, said something in Russian and shook his hand. And then they take me to the women's side. And I was just like, see, it's a game.
There was a time where she thought she would be in this penal colony for years. She'd been sentenced to 9 years.
I had to tell myself, you're an inmate now. You're an inmate. Like, you can't think like, oh, this is wrong, I'm innocent, or any of this. You have to just say, I'm an inmate and do what I have to do, whatever that's going to be in the work camp.
Griner has a book about the ordeal that's out today. A ban on TikTok, not enough for some D.C. lawmakers. There's now a bipartisan push to slap restrictions on all social media, making it available only to people who are over the age of 13.
There's no reason for a kid under 13 to be dealing with all of the pressure, all of the peer pressure, all of the negative messaging that comes from social media.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz there, one of the sponsors of the so-called Kids Off Social Media Act. In addition to setting a minimum age, the bill would prohibit social media companies from using their algorithms to push content to users who are under the age of 17.
Every parent I know who has teenage kids is worried about all the garbage that gets pulled in on our phones.
Yeah, I do worry about that. Like, what is it going to mean long term for my kids? Because they grew up with these phones.
You give your kids phones and their portals to just about every harmful influence in the world.
WABC News Time 525. The latest advance in robotics is making the machines more lifelike. Researchers at the University of Texas Austin have developed a stretchy electronic skin that mimics how human flesh works.
It can really make future humanoid have skins, both mechanically and electrically, mimicking humans.
Yeah, I was looking at this online. It was very cool. That's Professor Nanshu Liu, who says the sensors are accurate even when the skin is stretched to the limit. She envisions the technology used in robots that could provide care to humans. Their so-called e-skin would allow the machines to softly wipe a patient or help them turn them in bed.
We have discovered a mechanism that can be super sensitive to normal contact.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll have to watch that. It's pretty cool stuff. Let's take a look at the numbers. The opening bell, it rings this morning after stocks close higher to start the week. Stocks rose on easing inflation fears and news that Hamas had accepted that tentative ceasefire proposal. But that, of course, was not the case. At the closing bell, the Dow gained 176 points. S&P 500 added 52. NASDAQ rose 192 points.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
talking the news with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 532. Good morning. It is Tuesday, May 7th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Just a beautiful sunny day on the way. High 76. Tonight and overnight, the clouds roll in. Could see some late night showers, low 59. Wednesday morning rain and then peaks of sun in the afternoon, high 82. If you are walking out the door with us right now, always happy you are. 58 and partly cloudy in Southampton out on Long Island. It is 57 and partly cloudy in Dover over in New Jersey. and it is 59 and foggy outside our Midtown studios. We'll start this half hour down in New Jersey, where the town of Middletown is doing a major solid to New Jersey transit commuters. Maybe you heard the story that New Jersey Transit's going to raise its fares by 15% come the summer, and then they're going to continue to raise those rates over the next couple years, 3% each year. And so in Middletown, where you have to pay for parking when you park your car at the New Jersey lot there, they've decided to lower the prices to help people out. I mean, you know, look, every dollar counts. The city council unanimously voted to move forward with a plan that'll give commuters a financial break when they park the car. Now, it's not a lot of money. But look, a couple bucks there, a couple bucks there makes a difference. And just the fact that the lawmakers in Middletown are looking out for the locals, that's a good thing.
Benjamin Sedebrino.
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Heifel.
Yes.
Mayor Perry.
Yes.
Motion passes to approve this ordinance.
I think a lot of people will be happy.
Yeah, the ordinance voted on brings the price of parking down from $6 daily to $5. Now you say, okay, that's just a buck, but a buck every day, it adds up. For those who have a yearly permit, the rate would go from $375 to $315. That's a pretty big saving. The mayor there, Tony Perry, says he hopes this brings some relief to New Jersey transit riders, which is a big part of Middletown. A lot of people who work in Middletown commute into the city every day.
Well, it is some savings for that commuter, and to ensure not only that the town is continuing to be able to provide the services necessary, but also to provide them with that little extra money back into their pocket.
It's so rare that we get money back. So commuters hearing about this yesterday, pretty damn excited.
It is rather expensive. You know, you work, you commute, and then you have a good chunk of that money put back here.
Middletown officials say that parking lot generates about $175,000 a year. So they say with the town's $100 million budget, the loss of a minimal amount of revenue on that parking lot won't mean a whole lot to them, but will mean a whole lot to commuters. So now they're going to pass a small savings, but a savings it is, on to commuters. Out in Queens, or check this, out in Nassau County yesterday, a man wanted across the globe for allegedly stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry from stores all over the world was finally busted on Long Island. 49-year-old Yaorong Wan walked into the London Jewelers, that's at the Americana Manhasset, and he was able to distract a salesperson, use a sleight-of-hand trick to remove a very valuable watch worth about $17,000, and then walk out of the store. There's actually video of this, and it's fascinating to watch. It's essentially like watching a magician. He palms one watch, he then puts another one in his pocket, and you get the sense that's how this guy has worked his way around the world, fooling people and able to grab all kinds of items from jewelry stores from South Korea to the U.S. So police put all the dots together, and they figured out this was the guy, and they went in for the arrest this week.
Most of the jewelry or jewelry-type, you know, watches and high-end jewelry, diamonds, are taken by force or taken just by grabbing it and running out of the store. This was unique. It was very professional. They knew we were dealing with someone who was a professional at it.
Juan placed under arrest. There is also an active Interpol red notice and an active warrant for his arrest in Korea, where they think he stole about $400,000 worth of jewelry. He entered the U.S. illegally just back in December through the San Diego crossing, and he pled asylum. He had put in an asylum application, but now, chances are, after this bust, he will be sent packing back to South Korea. WABC News Time 5:39. A father and one of New York's bravest being hailed as a hero for doing what firefighters do, risk their own lives to save someone else's. He was off duty, FDNY Lieutenant Richard Cannon. This was about 3 a.m. on Saturday when a car just flew by him on the Pelt Parkway. And then when they caught up to that car, they noticed it was on fire. Cannon saw the crash. He called dispatch, of course, for help. And then he jumped out of his car. This is 3 a.m. to help this person who was in a burning car.
The male in the blue Corvette was, I would say, maybe about 30-year-old. He was unconscious when we found him. When I pulled him out, he was definitely having difficulty breathing. He was breathing, though.
We don't have any word on how that person is today, but what we do know is from what Lieutenant Cannon has told us, he was actually in the car with his wife and kids going home when this car sped by him.
I would hope that any cop, fireman, EMT who saw that, even a civilian, would stop and do the same thing that I did.
And Cannon says he didn't mean to be out so late with his kids. His 6- and 7-year-old had fallen asleep at a birthday party, and they were actually going to spend the night with family and friends, but decided to get on the road once the kids woke up. And so he says he was in the right place at the right time to help this person get out of the car after they had crashed. And he says at the same time, it was a good lesson for his kids to see what their dad does.
My wife even spoke to my son that night about it, said it was like a teachable moment not to drive like an idiot on a parkway. You know, I know the parkway wasn't a lot of cars out, but still something can happen, and you know, it could have easily been us or another family in the car.
Yeah, good thing for that guy in the blue Corvette that it was a firefighter who was driving by. Police on Long Island cracking down on illegal vaping products that are often marketed and sold to teenagers. If you walk the streets in our neighborhood, it is amazing how many people are vaping. They're all, for the majority, young people. You know, back when we were kids, right, you could see. It was a cigarette, and you could see the smoke, you could smell it. Now, of course, you can smoke just about anywhere, and nobody would know. But it's unbelievable how many people are vaping. So this recent bust by officers, they confiscated about 3,000 vape products in Long Island, some of it from a gas station in Shirley. The operation now expanding as authorities are hoping to find other illegal operations before teens are able to get their hands on these vape products, which are, again, incredibly popular with teenagers. Here's Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine.
We are going after stores that are not obeying state, county laws regarding tobacco use, regarding vaping, and other products that should not be sold to minors.
Yeah, so they kept getting tips from people who were watching these stores sell vape products to teenagers, and rightfully so, these parents or people turned in these stores. Some of the products, I mean, they're really marketed to kids. One's called Mexican Mango, Watermelon Ice. The whole idea is to get kids hooked from these tobacco companies.
They've sent an undercover minor, and they were able to make 4 arrests at 4 different locations out of the 9 that were checked.
So just to give you a sense of just how popular the whole vaping phase is and how popular the vaping products are, just in Suffolk County alone, there are 1,500 vendors that sell tobacco or vape products.
I was informed today that this is actually the second largest seizure in county history.
Yeah, so now they're going to go in for more. Inspection protocol, they say, will include attempting to purchase with an underage youth inspector. And that's how they've been able to make some of the busts here, as they send a decoy in, sometimes just a teenager. And if they're able to buy these products, they go in and bust these stores. And it's amazing. The majority of the stores so far during this investigation, they were willing to sell these vape products to teenagers. Which, by the way, if you don't know anything about the vape products, they're tobacco, just in vape form. Crazy scene in Elmwood Park, New Jersey. Driver who was, police say, was drunk, arrested after he smashed into probably 8 vehicles in all. Crash happening about 6 p.m., intersection of Mola Boulevard and Goodwin Avenue. Video shows the driver of this black Honda Accord making an illegal move across double yellow lines and then driving the wrong way on this street. And there was a lot of people out because it was a nice night.
There were 8 vehicles involved in the accident, 2 parked vehicles and 6 vehicles that were being operated by someone. He went to pass a vehicle by going into oncoming traffic. And trying to get in front of that vehicle, they clipped, you know, the tail of his car in the front of that car. sent him into a spin.
So the amazing part of this story is so many cars were hit, but nobody seriously hurt. Witnesses, here's one of them who was in a car, actually. Glenn Waller was driving a gray Dodge, and he tried to get out of the way of this drunk driver who was driving right towards him.
And then he hit me head on before. I saw him rear-end the person. He hit me head on, and I don't know where his car went after that. I couldn't see. It all happened in slow motion, but fast at the same time. I just knew I didn't want to get hit head on, and I was trying to have him hit the back of my car instead.
The Honda slammed into Waller's Dodge with such force that the engine and several parts were ripped out of the Honda. In fact, one homeowner telling us there was damage to his house, like a car part, an alternator came out because of the force of this accident and ripped the siding of their house. A Tesla parked along the road, it took a beating. Eight cars in all involved in this crash. Two vehicles were parked. The other six had people behind the wheel. But again, no serious injuries, which is kind of amazing.
Three guys, I don't even know who they were, opened my passenger door and asked me if I was all right. And I was in like a daze, and they took my seatbelt off and pulled me out.
So now this 29-year-old arrested, facing a slew of charges, including driving while intoxicated. 5:45, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk, where we find Justin Ellis.
Thank you, Noah Mullen. Starting on the hardwood at the Garden, Jalen Brunson scored 43 points, becoming the fourth player in NBA history with four straight 40-point games in the postseason, joining Jerry West, Michael Jordan, and Bernard King. And the Knicks beat the Indiana Pacers 121-117 last night in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semi. Finals, Brunson had 21 in the fourth quarter, rallying the Knicks after they trailed by 9 early in the period. Dante DiVincenzo hit the tie-breaking three-pointer with 40 seconds remaining and scored 25 for the Knicks, while Josh Hart added a playoff career-high 24 points and added 13 rebounds and 8 assists. Hart played all 48 minutes, DiVincenzo 44 and Brunson 43 and a half. The Knicks will try and stay hot when they host Game 2 at the Garden coming up tomorrow night. To the NHL, where we've got Game 2 of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs to look forward to tonight, featuring our very own New York Rangers in Madison Square Garden to host the Carolina Hurricanes. Puck drop there set for 7 p.m. with the Rangers heading in with a 1-0 series lead. On the diamond in St. Louis, Brandon Nimmo hit a tie-breaking homer in the seventh inning that sent the Mets to a 4-3 victory over the Cardinals. Sean Manaea pitched six effective innings, and Edwin Diaz rebounded from a rare blown save Sunday as the Mets bounced back from a weekend sweep at Tampa Bay. Diaz worked a 1-2-3 inning for his fifth save in six opportunities before that rare blown save on Sunday. Diaz had converted 26 consecutive save chances dating back to 2022, which was the longest active streak in the majors. Manaea allowed three runs, six hits, and one walk in his first career start against the Cards. He became the first Mets starter to earn a win since Luis Severino beat Pittsburgh 9-1 on April 17th. Game 2 of the three-game set is scheduled for tonight at 7:45 p.m. with Jose Buto prepped to take the hill for New York. Looking ahead to Yankees baseball after the Bombers enjoyed an off day yesterday, they'll welcome in the rival Houston Astros for a three-game series. That'll begin tonight at 7:05 p.m. with the righty Luis Gil scheduled to get the start for New York there. That's your Sports Gnome. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Justin. 5:47, traffic, transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, from the RatingTina.com traffic desk, again, if you're heading out on the Major Deegan, that is definitely the worst of it this morning, and that would be on the northbound side. There is an accident right around the area of Van Cortlandt Park. Two left lanes are going to be out of service as you travel northbound, and you're backed up from the 230. So, again, you've got some pretty significant delays on the northbound side. At one point, southbound was completely closed with police activity. That is now out of the way, but still some pretty significant delays on the southbound side as well. So look for that. Now, on the New England Thruway northbound coming up to Co-op City, there's still construction in the right lane, and as a result of that, you've got some pretty good delays on the northbound side getting up to the Hutchinson River Parkway. Now, then further north in Connecticut on I-95, the Connecticut Turnpike, they should just about have that road work out of the way between exit 16 and 17. We have an accident now as you come inbound George Washington Bridge on the lower level. The right lane is going to be out of service. That will continue for a little while longer, it looks like. We're also looking at a good day, though, as you travel on the expressway westbound, just a little slow at Glen Cove Road, and then again at Queens Boulevard. Inbound on the Gowanus BQE from the Prospect on up to the Brooklyn Bridge, a lot of slow traffic. We're still good at the Lincoln and Holland Tunnels. George Washington Bridge inbound now, about a 10-minute delay. And then also, as we've been telling you, on the Bruckner southbound coming down to the drawbridge, there are some delays in mass transit. Looks to be in pretty good shape. An alternate side of the street parking rules again today are in effect. Discover commitment excellence at every level when you visit Ray Catina Porsche in Edison. Whether you're looking for a new or pre-owned Porsche, a lease return, custom order, financing, or maintenance, you'll find it all at Ray Catena Porsche on Route 1 in Edison. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Let's get you up with some of the big stories happening overnight. Two women shot, gunfire erupting. This was Hamilton Heights last night, about 8:40. NYPD cops found two women suffering from gunshot wounds. First responders took those women to Harlem Hospital. They're in stable condition. No word why they were shot. Police have made no arrests, but the good news here is those women are both expected to survive. Last night was the Met Gala. Big protest. Palestinian protesters wanted to do their best they could to interrupt the Met Gala. They started this demonstration. It was at Hunter College about 6 last night. They tried to wake their way up to where the Met Gala was taking place at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. We watched on as police had to do battle with some of these protesters, at least 24 arrests, some pretty violent fights taking place between these protesters and and the NYPD cops who were trying to protect the gala. Now, they did not get anywhere close to the Met Gala from what we could tell. But we were hearing from students on the Hunter campus where this protest began who say they're just kind of sick and tired of these daily protests getting in the way of class. And many of the classes at Hunter have now gone virtual because they just can't handle the daily protests, which has some students on the campus saying, wait a minute, I'm paying big dollars to go here. I want to be able to go to class in person.
Spend my money to get here to pay for the tuition and everything, and they just cancel my class for no reason.
So we'll have to see what the final numbers are on that massive protest, but close to 1,000 maybe in the end, 24 as arrests as of late last night. Also overnight, damage being reported all across the Midwest, these tornadoes touching down again. It's been just a wild weather pattern out there over the last couple weeks. A lot of tornadoes. This was in the town of Bartlesville last night. Widespread damage.
We're still doing assessments, still looking at some of the damage areas. We did take a direct hit from a tornado here in Bartlesville.
A tornado also hit nearby town of Barnesdale, where damage was widespread. Also reports of storm damage in other locations across the state, but a lot of people seeing these twisters.
Stay out of those damaged areas. We're having a lot of difficulty getting in to do assessments, to check on people, to see if they've got any injuries because of the traffic congestion.
Daylight will give us a better sense of just how bad the damage is there. And the weather patterns in Texas also creating havoc. Texas Governor Greg Abbott warning that the danger from these Texas floods over the weekend is far from over. The governor says while the water is receding some areas, it's still rising in others.
Heart-wrenching to see our fellow Texans be literally inundated with record waterfall, record rise in water.
Yep, thousands maybe? Hundreds? I mean, they really just don't know the number. How many people have lost their homes? Looking at wide shots from above show just entire neighborhoods underwater. Three people, including a young kid, have died as a result of the storms. There have been more than 500 water rescues around the state.
Flooding homes, destroying lives, and unfortunately even claiming some lives.
And you know what we see here when there's the flooding? People try to drive through flooded areas thinking they'll make it through, and sometimes we have fatalities from that. Same thing's happening in Texas. The governor there warning people not to drive through high water because they're trying to.
We've seen horrific deaths and injuries arise because of vehicles driving into high water, thinking that they could make it through, only to in the end, lose their life.
Yeah, never a good idea. Technical problems delaying the first crewed flight of NASA's newest space liner, Starliner. Everybody's excited about this. They're set to take off last night. Did not happen.
The vehicle is not in a configuration where we can proceed with flight today. So we're going to initiate our scrub and recycle operation.
Yeah, so Commander Butch Whitmore, pilot Sonny Williams, were settling into their seats when this test flight from the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station was just canceled. A faulty oxygen relief valve in the rocket being blamed for the scrub. The Boeing-built Starliner will launch for a week-long shakedown mission to the International Space Station. Not clear when that's going to take off now. And overnight, and actually into this morning, the Israeli Defense Forces taking control of the Gaza side of the Rafah crossing with Egypt, a tank brigade rolling in, the Israeli flag raised at this Rafah crossing. Video shows an armored vehicle arriving at one of the buildings there, following intelligence that had indicated that the Rafah crossing was where some of the Hamas terrorists were trying to escape as Israel begins its operation in Rafah. This all came after what was really sort of a confusing day in Israel yesterday. There was talks that a ceasefire had been agreed to by Hamas. Israel then looked at that ceasefire and said it was not what they had agreed to. Apparently, the talks are still going on, and we'll get more details about that as the day wears on. But it's clear some sort of operation has begun in Rafah this morning on the part of Israel. Let's bring it back home. New Jersey Congressman Josh Gottheimer announcing new legislation to protect seniors from scams. Gottheimer says many scams like investment, tax scams, target older people on social media, so he's sending letters to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to help out.
These platforms can use a mix of crowdsourcing and artificial intelligence to label the posts. You want these posts labeled as potential scams.
Yeah, Gottheimer says these scammers using every trick in the book, from social media, in email, to phones, and door-to-door visits.
Fraudsters are using every trick in the book. Social media, email, and the phones. And now, of course, the packages and at the doors, to swindle our seniors out of billions of dollars every single year. According to the FBI's 2023 Elder Fraud Report, seniors had more than $3.4 billion stolen from senior scams last year.
Yeah, so if you know somebody who's older and you've sat with them, as I have, it's amazing how many times their phones will ring. And it's amazing that like 100% of those calls will be from scammers who are trying to scam them some way out of money. Crazy scene in Brooklyn yesterday. Dozens of chickens rescued from the streets of Brooklyn after they fell off the back of a box truck. So you've maybe been behind one of these trucks before where they have those sort of plastic cages that are stuffed with chickens that are going somewhere to be sold. And so this guy was driving around Brooklyn yesterday, and he just didn't realize that a bunch of cages, 15 crates in all, had fallen out of the rear of this large truck. This was between Jay and Sand Street. So people who were leaving for school yesterday found these chickens, these crates just sitting on the street, and they were like, what the heck's going on
here? Could not believe that's the first thing that we saw on the way to school. Couple hundred chickens there, across the street. They were basically all up and around from here, from the entrance to our building, all the way up towards the BQE. And I would say there was maybe about 200 of them.
Yes, the police arrived. They found these crates on the ground blocking the ramp to the BQE in Cadman Plaza. Some families in Dumbo looking at the spectacle, describing the scene.
I hopped on my bus around like 7:30 a.m. There was chickens. So my bus driver pointed out to me, and I was just so weirded out. And then as we went up this street, along the street, we just started seeing even more chickens.
Yeah, and of course, they didn't know where they had come from. They're like, what's this all about?
There was a couple of free ones just walking around the sidewalk, and no one knows where they came from.
Yeah, so police finally put all the pieces together. They were able to actually even find the truck driver who had accidentally dropped them off the back of his truck. He collected his chickens, and he went on his way.